I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers is in the Old Testament. Chapter 13 is right after chapter 12. Very good. Numbers. It's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and 13. And a couple of weeks ago, we started a new series, and we're a little twist on Shakespeare's words, right? To grow or not to grow? That is always the question. And we spoke a couple of weeks ago now from Exodus chapter 14, remember, where Exodus 14, where the children of Israel just escaped out of Egypt, and God delivering them from Egypt, from slavery in Egypt, which is a metaphor for our escape from the slavery of sin, and finding new life in Christ. And the first thing that happens to them is that they're confronted with a growth opportunity. They have the Red Sea in front of them, and they have the enemy coming up on their rear, literally on their rears, right? And God performs a miracle and makes a way for them to grow through the situation. We talked about that. And so to grow or not to grow is always the question. This is the series that we're dealing with. We'll see how far we get. And as we look here in Numbers chapter 13, I'd like to just read a couple of verses of scripture. And I'll give a little bit of explanation. But Numbers 13, starting at verse, where do we want to go? 26, they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. Now, so they've made it. They've made it from crossing the Red Sea through the peninsula of Sinai. Remember, God made them a promise to bring them into the promised land, their inheritance. And they made it through their trek in the desert. They've been some 39, 40 years. And they made it. This is where they're at right now. They're about to cross the Jordan, or that possibility exists, and to go into their inheritance, to go into what God has promised them. And so there they are. And Moses had sent out some spies to check out, you know, do a reconnaissance. What do they have to look forward to? What's the situation like? What are we going to be up against here? Can we take it or not? Can we go in or not? Wrong question, that was. What's it like? And says, they reported to them, the whole assembly, and they showed them the fruit of the land. So this is pretty cool here. This is what it's like over there. This is what it's like. And it says, they gave Moses account. We went into the land. We saw it. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, which is to say, it's rich and prosperous there. Rich and prosperous. And he says, and then he said, listen, here's some of the fruit. And some of the fruit is a cluster of grapes. Now, when you and I look at a cluster of grapes, we can hold it up like this, right? Here's a cluster of grapes. Well, they got such a cluster of grapes that it said they had to put it on, you know, a stick between two guys carrying it. That's some big fruit. That's a big cluster of grapes. And it says, And then it goes downhill from there. Then it goes downhill. And they said, but. And there's a big but for you. But the people who live there are powerful. The cities are fortified, very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there, meaning that they're a pretty big and fierce people. And then it says, the Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites live in the hill country, the Canaanites and the Termites live near the sea and along the Jordan. And you'll see, so what they're saying is that we're up against it here. And then it says Caleb, Joshua and Caleb were a part of the 12 that went with them. And it says, but Caleb spoke up. And he said, and Caleb is sensing something. Caleb is sensing something here. He's saying, boy, you know what? This is how Caleb is thinking. He's thinking, we have an opportunity here, and it is the opportunity. You know, the opportunity. It's like this is the culmination of everything here, and they're closing this window on this opportunity here. And so Caleb, sensing that, he speaks up, and he says, just settle down here. He said, we need to go up at once and take this. We certainly, I love those words, we can certainly do it. We can certainly do it. The end of verse 30. And if you know the story well, it goes in one ear and out the other, what Caleb said. And I want to say to you that I think that this is a tragic problem, and I use the word specific, on purpose, tragic. I think that we have a tragic, if not chronic, problem with all of us of things going in and coming out here that causes the window on opportunities that God gives to us to be closed. Follow what I'm saying? And please stay with me on this, because this is important. And then 14. So like I say, you know what happens here. Then in 14, he says, the people buy in to fear, in doubt, in disbelief, and instead of a growth moment, a growth opportunity for their lives, despite the obstacles in front of them, enemy is there, we can get hurt, giants, all this stuff, they say, sorry, but we're not going to keep going in that direction. And then in chapter 14, verse 32, is it? Where do I want to start reading? Yeah, 32, just a couple of verses to help with the context. So they make the wrong decision. And, you know, there are some decisions that we can recover from. And there are some decisions that I believe that three-quarters, let me go higher, 98% of the decisions we make, we can recover from. Some of them in that 98% are harder to recover from than others. And 2% are, maybe not. And if you do, you're really tough, you know, stuff. And this is one of those situations where he says, well, you know, you made a wrong decision here, and you're in that 2% category. You're going to come back around, but some bad stuff is going to happen. And in verse 32, he says, but you. So speaking to them as they bought into the lie, that buying into the lie that caused them to make a bad decision and not follow through on the promise of God, not to take advantage of a growth opportunity. You see, the giants were indeed there along, you understand? The hardships were there along with the promise of God to them. Now, that's hard for us to swallow sometimes. Why can't it be the promise of God there and it's like having a lollipop? You know? Nice cherry lollipop with the Tootsie Roll in the middle. You know? Why does it got to be that, you know, why do they have to be the difficulties there? Well, for a lot of reasons, but they're there, the promise of God. And it says they made the wrong decision. Then he says to them, this is pretty heavy duty. He says, your bodies will fall in the desert. He says, remember we said 2 weeks ago when they faced the Red Sea and where they had a growth opportunity given to them, said that, he said, go forward. And the idea there was there's no standing still in the matter. Either you're going to go forward or they're coming after you to take you back. It's regression. You see, and this ought to be incentive for us. In the same situation here, he says, okay, you're not going forward. Well, now you're going to go in circles in the desert, and it's going to be a hardship for you. In fact, your body, you're all going to die there. When you talk about doubt being a killer, what happened to Adam and Eve when they doubted and disobeyed? And it says, your children will be shepherds here for 40 years, suffering for your unfaithfulness until the last of your bodies lies in the desert. For 40 years, one year for each of the 40 days you explored the land, you will suffer for your sins and know what it is like to have me against you. That's horrific. I, the Lord, have spoken and will surely do these things to this whole wicked community, which has banded together against me. They will meet their end in the desert. Here they will die. Now, to me, these two chapters, 13 and 14 in Numbers, ranks with Genesis chapter 3. We refer to Genesis chapter 3 as the what? The fall, right? The fall. The disobedience happened and they died. Tragic. And here again, I put this on the same level, understanding that kind of dimension in their lives. Now, let me just state this, okay? God forgives. We believe in his forgiveness. We recover from bad decisions that we make. His grace not only blankets us, but it infiltrates our lives. And where sin abounds, his grace there much more abounds. And he works with us with compassion. We believe that. And at the same time, there is a maturity level that we have to come up to see that he brings us to places in our lives. I'm calling them growth opportunity moments, in which we're presented with decisions to grow or not to grow. And if we choose wrongly, if we make the wrong decision, it can work against us that we do not grow. Okay? Conversely, if we act accordingly, we grow leaps and bounds. To grow or not to grow is always the question. So you say, why did God make it like this for them? Inasmuch with Adam and Eve, why did God have to put them in that kind of situation? Well, he put them in that kind of situation is because growth is worked into the destiny of your life in my life. It's your destiny to grow. And these become growth moment opportunities for us to grow. And so I ask the question, are you growing? Are you growing? Are you growing? Now, growing up is not all that easy at times, especially when we're faced with hardships. We've all heard the expression growing pains, right? Growing pains. And growing up is not easy. It isn't. And growing up is my destiny, is your destiny, that it's the adventure that God has each of us on. And no one ever reaches a point, none of us, where we say, well, I've grown up enough. You know, I wish it were so. I mean, I'm 59, and it's like, well, you'd think, you know, coming to 59 that there'd be a certain level of maturity that you'd have. You say, boy, I'm there. And son of a gun, you know, it's like, sometimes I just can't believe the immaturity that Sandra exhibits. It's just incredible. And we're like that, aren't we? I mean, all of us. We We discover these things about us. And it only goes to show, not something bad or negative, it just goes to show us that we never stop growing up. Maturity never stops. It's our destiny to grow. And opportunities for growth come at us more often than not in times of testing. And you know, it's like the story of the two guys. They were friends, and they were sitting there after dinner, and there was pie on the table, and they were about to have a cup of coffee and a nice piece. What should we make it? Pumpkin pie with whipped cream. And in the pie dish, there were, as I said, two pieces of pie. They were both somewhat mature men, and had maturity about them. And the one guy was thinking to himself, boy, there's two pieces of pie. One piece was quite large. The other piece was just a sliver. It's how it ended up being divvied out by the hostess, we'll say. And so the one guy sitting there says, well, you know, I'll be mature here. And I said, I'll take the small piece. And as he was thinking that and going to go for it, the other guy kind of nudged him out and immediately took the big piece, put it on his plate, and he looked at the other guy. The other guy looked at him, you know, who was going to take the small piece, raised his eyebrows, and he says, what? He says, what piece were you going to take? He said, I'm going to take the small one. He says, well, you got it. Yeah, you got it. And, you know, there are times of testing with all of us in our lives. Have you ever been tested before? You know, no, heaven help us, right? And I want to look at those situations just for a minute. And just let me say quickly, okay, that anything and everything is open territory, open game. Is that what we call it? Open season. There we go. Open season. Got it. Open season on a time of testing for your life and mine. Be it in the context of relationships, and that's probably mostly where we're tested, is it not? If it weren't for other people, boy, I'd be pretty good right now, you know? You know, you talk about a perfect marriage if it wasn't that I had to actually live with my wife to be married, boy, I'd have the perfect marriage. But there probably isn't anything that God doesn't utilize in our lives to form times of testing. And God, it's like, I remember when we were on our way back to Mexico on one occasion from the States, and we were having problems getting in the country. It's a long story. Isn't that funny? They didn't want to let us into Mexico. and so it was pretty hairy because I had an obligation to get back to the ministry that we were doing. We had people waiting on us. And, I mean, they were rejecting us, and it would have been complicated. And so, you know, we did all kinds of things, finally, to where I started begging and crying. But they let us in. And so we got there, and we had a time of devotions, I think, the next morning with the students. And in the devotions, we were talking about, you know, times of testing. I can't remember the exact context, and it was like, you know, well, this situation that we just, Sandra and I just went through, you know, who did it, God or the devil? And my answer to that was yes. Yes. And what we mean to say by that is in the times of testing, God has an agenda and the devil has an agenda. In the times of testing, God has an agenda. God has a purpose for our lives because it's our destiny to grow. His purpose, his intent for your life and mine is that we do, in fact, grow, that we go through it. And as much as we said 2 weeks ago, go forward, that we don't let it get to us and stop us. And stopping us is to make us go back. And that could happen. We get in a relationship squabble with someone. And the temptation is, instead of working it out and going through it to become better people, grow up in the Lord, we what? straight arm the situation, if that's the way he wants to be, if that's the way she wants to be, and grudges come up, hurts come up, bitterness comes up, and we go what? You know? Our separate ways. And you say, well, that doesn't happen to Christians, does it? It's like, no, it never happens to Christians. No, it doesn't happen to Christians. No. But it works that way, and it works that way in all kinds of contexts. Struggles that we have, circumstances that we face, dark issues in our lives. Dark things in our lives. You ever have a dark thought? And it's like, what the heck? Where did that come from? You know? And it's like, in those kinds of moments, it can become an opportunity for God to do something inside of us, or it can become an advantage that Satan can take over us. One or the other. You with me? Times of testing. That's not the intent of my message this morning in our few minutes together. And so Numbers. A great fall happens here in these chapters so that we see here a failure that takes place. Now listen, I forget the name of the poem. Is the name of the poem Things Fall Apart, Ascending to the Widening Gray? But things fall apart sometimes, don't they? Those of us who have lived long enough, you kids, you don't have a clue. Unless it's, you know, your boyfriend who just broke up with you or whatever. Then you think your life is in the toilet. All I got to say to you is get a life. But we know that at times things fall apart, right? And you can't pray it away. You can't, and what makes it worse is, God, I've been so good this past week. You know, and now this. God, what's the matter with you? Didn't you see how good I was? And I'm exaggerating the 1 week situation. But it's like the reality is that failures happen, things fall apart. And we see here in this chapter of Numbers a tremendous failure and a challenge to them that they don't take. And instead of becoming a growth moment for their lives to their advantage, it becomes a defeat in their lives. And this is the reality. That can happen to us. It can happen to me. It has happened to me. Okay? Now that's a reality. Sometimes it's a difficult reality. Aren't Christians supposed to be the happiest people on earth? Trouble worry-free? Problem-free? I didn't know I had so many problems until I became a Christian. You know? And there are, you know, some of us who think that because in our culture, or if it isn't that, this is what it becomes, okay? What it becomes is, like with them, okay, so they fail. Well, what pill can I take to get me through this as quickly as possible? How can I medicate it? Or if for heaven's sake, at least become anesthetized with something to help me get through it as quickly as possible. And God offers nothing like that, you know. And growth, you know, growth opportunities. Now that's the bad news. So let's switch gears, okay? That's the bad news. There is good news, okay? There is good news. You say, what's the good news? Even in this situation. Because in this situation, God says, this is how bad it's going to get. But he says, I'm going to stick with you. There's going to be a do-over, and you're going to, this is going to happen. All right? There's going to be a do-over. Now, I'm grateful for do-overs in God. That situations in my own life where there have been failures, bad decisions, that there is grace available to do it again and make it right in God. It's grace. It's grace, it's grace that he brings us back around, you see? And not only, watch, and this is the amazing thing about grace. You ready for this one? not only does he bring us back around, that the grace is available in our lives to navigate once again through it, but all that transpired of all you the failure, the difficulty, the defeat, somehow he is able to take that all and work it in such a way that he uses it for blessing in my life. He redeems it. After all, his name is Redeemer. Wow. Double grace. Double grace. Wow, what a tremendous thing. And so here's the thing now that we see. And this is what I want to focus on for a few moments, okay? You don't read the Bible for long that you realize that it takes faith to walk with God. It takes faith to become a Christian. It takes faith. And these kinds of things in your life and in mine, growth opportunity moments, take faith to get through. It takes faith. Growth takes faith. It's your destiny and it's mine to grow. If I'm going to grow, it's going to happen by faith. By faith, it's going to happen. Growth takes faith. So having faith in God is a lot like mixing cement. Now, I know some of you don't have a clue what it's like to mix cement, so I'll help you, okay? But having faith in God is a lot like mixing cement. If I went out and I bought a bag of Portland cement, okay, and there it is. There's the cement. Okay. Okay. Cement. Do your work. Do your job. Cement. I got the cement. I have it here. Now the chances are the cement is going to say to you, shut up. What are you, stupid? No. That cement, if it's going to become cement, if it's going to function like it's intended to function, needs an aggregate, right? It needs water and sand, maybe some stone, to be added to it. And not only that to be added to it, but then you got to mix it up. Okay? And then if you do that, mixing the aggregate, mixing the water with it, it then becomes what? What it was intended to be. And this is a lot like growing up in our faith in God. So that, and this is the thing that prevents it from going in one ear and out the other. You know? So that we have the Word of God, the Bible, you know, and by it we grow. And we're growing, and it's like, boy, this isn't working in my life. You ever feel that sometimes? You know? Well, the thing that we conclude, first of all, is this. It's not a problem on his end. Is that fair? You know, if this thing isn't working, it's fair to say that it's not, you know, the problem isn't on his end, God's end, if it's not working. No matter how we feel about it, intellectually, with our reason, we have to conclude, well, you know, chances are it's me. And chances are, I don't have the mix down. I'm not mixing something here with the Word. That when you take a growth opportunity moment in my life, I come up against a difficulty. And that thing, instead of me being able to take advantage of it and get through this thing, and I become a better person for it, instead, all the worst in me comes out. And not that that isn't going to happen otherwise, even becoming a better person. But I just leave it there, you know. Chances are what's going on is that, you know, I'm not taking advantage of saying, okay, all these things exist, and it looks very overwhelming to me, like it looked for them. There's giants there. There's enemy there, you know. But it's so overwhelming, and I feel overwhelmed. But you know what? I'm going to believe that God is going to get me through this situation. Now, what you've just done when you said that, and I'm going to, and here's the next thing you say, and I'm going to be careful that decisions that I make, words that I use, and actions that I take are not going to circumvent, are not going to put a roadblock up from me being able to walk through this thing and grow through it. I'm going to be careful. You know what you're doing when you do that? You're applying God's word and you're mixing that word with faith in your life. And what you're saying is, God, what do you want to do in my life when you mix God's word with faith? And so keeping the faith in growth opportunities is key to growing through difficult or growth opportune moments. Keeping the faith in opportunities. Keep the faith. Now let me just give you a couple of things. Okay, as we shut this down. A couple of things. Here's the first thing. You know, what boxer gets into the ring hoping he doesn't take a hit? We do, don't we? We do, you know. And it would be stupid of him. I mean, you know, not only do boxers prepare to, you know, their swing, whatever, right? But they're also what? Being prepared to take it. See, how to take it. And the situation is this, that we have to be prepared for growth opportunity moments. Listen, it's going to happen. You are going to be tested. It's not always going to go round. Sometimes it's going to go flat for you and for me. It just is. It just is. And the deal is, prepare for it. Be prepared for it. Listen, I'm going to be tested. I'm going to be tempted. I'm going to be given, I kind of look at it this way. Listen, there is a growth opportunity moment with your name all over it. God has a specially designed, tailor-made opportunity for you to grow through. He does. And whatever it is, and so part of the deal here of getting in that ring and duking this thing out is just saying to yourself, you know what, I'm going to take. And there's nothing wrong with taking a hit. There is nothing wrong with taking a hit that puts you down. Mm-mm, not at all. Not at all. Here's the deal. If you never knew what it was like to go down, you will never know the grace that's available to bring you back up. And so you go down. But there's grace available to get back up. Go down. For heaven's sake, get back up. There's grace available to bring you back up. So be prepared for it. Here's the next thing. The next thing is what I just would call faith it. Not fake it. Faith it. There are people who do fake it. How's it going? Ha, 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 ha. Excellent. Good. I'm a Christian. Everything's good. Right? You know, those kind of people. Yeah, life is wonderful. You know, life is wonderful. And you dig a little deeper and you say, boy, they're talking the talk, but they're not what? They're not walking the walk. You know? They're faking it. No, not fake it, faith it. And by faith it, again, what I mean is that faith it means that you look at this, you automatically say, hey, this is something that God has brought into my life. Now, the devil wants to take advantage of it to ruin me, but God is in on this. And he's in on this to do something spectacular in my life. That without it, I could never become the person that he is destined for me to become without it. Wow. Come on now. And it is all of spectacular. So I faith it. Now, notice that in faithing it, you may not feel it. Right? You're going to feel just the opposite of this stuff, but how we have to get it. And so the last one, believe it or not, is that we come to a point where where I'm feeling it in my life. Now, it's not a contradiction to what I just said, as long as faith in it is first. You see, it's believing, you know, it's believing it, but it's feeling it in my life. And what I mean by feeling it, and maybe there's a better way to put it, is that somehow I'm going to realize that I got to get this thing into my life and not let it go in one ear and out the other. I wonder how many failures are in our lives because we let something go in one ear and out the other. Have you ever been embarrassed because you meet someone and they tell you their name? And like 2 seconds later, it's like, you know, it's like, hey, you forget their name. You know, went in one ear and out the other, their name. And how often we do that. And so this thing by feeling it means that, you know, we believe that man, I'm going to let this thing sink in to my life. I'm just going to let his word sink in. Which reminds me, where are you in reading his word? This is March, right? This is March. I'm in Samuel. I'm in Samuel. I read so many pages a day to get me through in whatever it is, 6 months I'm doing or whatever it is, and I'm in Samuel. Anybody else in Samuel? Tommy? Yeah, so you're on the same schedule I am, probably. Yeah. But how are you coming with your Bible reading? This is a checkup, you know? How are you coming? You know, are you doing your devotions? You know, you into the Word? And You know, it's like you can't feel it unless you allow it, not, you know, just go in one ear and kind of come out the other. But man, it sinks in. And what sinks in, we're able to then somehow take, and man, this thing is going to, I'm gonna believe God, and I'm going to grow by faith in this thing. Grow by faith. And so growth opportunities come to us more often than not as times of testing. And the thing that gets us through the time of testing is faith. And I'm going to believe God through this thing. Now I'm going to do business. See, you say, what's faith? Faith is, I'm just going to keep it in the context of doing business with God through this thing. It's not his fault. It's not her fault. It's not their fault. It's not the dog's fault. It's not the cat's fault. You know? It's me. And I'm doing business with you through this thing right now. That this is a situation in my life. You know, have you ever said, I don't need this right now? Yep. You know, I don't need this right now. Are you kidding me? I don't need this right now. My grandson is laughing at me. He doesn't have a clue. And here's what I'm learning in my life right now. Yes, I do. Did you hear what I said? I've said, I don't need this right now. And it's like, God, do you see this, this, and this? And now, for heaven's sake, this? Now this? I don't need this right now. And what I'm discovering is, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. That this is going to become for me an opportunity to become something that I have been destined to become in God. What do you think? Are you there? When was your last growth opportunity moment? When was it? When was it? How did you do? Did you grow? Are you growing? No, are you growing? Sandra bought me a gym membership. I'll never forget the day when I bought a new shirt and I came into the room to display it to her. Hey, what do you think? And she looked at me and she said, wow, you're gaining weight. Like, no, that's not what I'm asking. You know, what I'm asking is, how do you like the shirt? And when she said that, it was like, wow, you know what? And that was about 30 pounds ago. So she bought me a membership at the gym. And if you have a membership at the gym and use it, I've had to talk to people. It's like, yeah, I support the gym. Don't go, but I support it. And one of the things I notice is that if you stick with it long enough, you do grow. You do. You know what I'm saying? It's like weights that I wasn't able to lift when I first started, I can do now. I'm advancing. And so as I look back on my physical training, I'm able to see progress, growth. In your life right now, someone who is walking with Jesus, can you pinpoint growth? Can you? So you know I'm growing. This is how it usually works for me. I'm in a situation with someone. I'll use the context of relationship because we always work there. And instead of punching the person, I just now clench my fist. That's growth for me. It's growth. It is. I'm exaggerating, but sometimes that's the way it works. You know? Boy, it's like, instead of letting them have it, you keep it to yourself. That's growth. That's growth. It is. But still the question is, are you growing? Let's stand together and pray.